Good to be here, amen. Well, we're going to dive into scripture tonight. We're going to have two places to go to tonight. So turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 11. That's where we're going to start out tonight. Then find your place in the book of Acts, chapter number 12. We're going to go into that as well. Luke is going to set up the scene for us and see what we have to learn tonight. I thought I was going to be done with this tonight because for some reason I thought I was going to be on a plane this weekend and gone next Sunday, but God bless you with another week with me. Amen? And so I'll wrap. Folks, that was rough. God's blessed you with another week with me. Amen? Wow. Man. Anyway, we're going to deal with the subject of why do we go to church? What's the purpose of church? And so we dealt with last week. We gather as an assembly. We got that from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verses 24 through 25, and that we set it up there, and then we went into the area of singing and how we are to sing our praises before the Lord, and we dealt a great deal with that last week. And so I believe there are a few reasons why we need to come to church and what we need to do, why we are there. And so last week was the teaching on singing. This week, we're going to be talking about prayer. And it might hit home with some folks, and it might not. It's been about 8-9 years ago that I had the privilege to go to Pine Bluff, Wyoming. And I believe it's one of the first towns in Wyoming that you see a big statue of Mary. And I went there with Brother Phil Prettyman and a couple other guys, and we spent 3 days in a cabin, and we fasted and prayed. And to be quite honest with you, I was a little bit scared, and I was nervous about the trip before we even went, because I knew I was going with great men of God, men that had great intellect, men who had great wisdom when it came to the Word of God, and then there was me. That's how I look at myself. And I'm not saying, hey, have a pity party for me. I'm just a little bit more stubborn, and it takes me a little bit longer to learn some things. And I remember being in the town for those 3 days, and I remember every single night we prayed all night long. Sometimes we prayed to the point to where we all fell asleep. And that was quite interesting. But it was at that point in time where I thought that I knew what praying was all about, and you couldn't teach me anything new about prayer. And what I realized after being saved for so many years of my life, I still have so much more to learn when it comes to God's Word. I still have so much more to learn when it comes to this area when it deals with praying. And God taught me a very valuable lesson that week that I will never forget. One of the times that we were praying for something, and I stopped, and I said, fellows, I said, I believe, but I don't believe. You guys ever been there? I was there at that night, and man, I had some great counseling that night, and God gave me some revelation that night, and I appreciate that so much. And I believe that one of the reasons, besides singing, the other reason why we need to come to church is to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to pray. I remember years ago, as we grew up in this church, this was our area. This is our area of play time. This is our area where we got disciplined as well. And it's got fond memories. And there are many times where I can remember when I became of age where every single one of us kids had to learn how to do something. And whenever we had to learn how to do something, guess what took place? Mom or Dad had to teach us. And we didn't know how to do it right then and there, but they took us, they pulled us aside, and to begin to teach us how to do this, that, and the other thing. And those skills that we have today is because we were taught. And I believe there is a great deal for us to learn when it comes to the area of prayer. Before we begin reading, let's have a word of prayer, because that's what we do so quite often. We open our services with prayer. We have prayer meeting at 5:15. We close in prayer. Somebody comes to our mind and we hear somebody being sick and then we pray. I was at a graduation this afternoon. An unfortunate circumstance happened in a young man's life, and so they moved the graduation up and so they could do those things. And the young man that was given his, what do they call those things, his speech at that point in time, talked about prayer and how important it was, and said it meant a great deal to me. So let's have a word of prayer, then we'll read the scripture. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We ask that you would guide us through the teaching and preaching of your word. Lord, I pray tonight that I would not say anything to bring shame to you, but Lord, my goal is to bring glory to you, and we all walk out of here closer to you. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that your will be done, and we ask it in your great name. Amen. So as we go through life, there are some things that you and I need to learn how to do. And so when we come to those areas in our life, there's a process that needs to take place, and that is we need to be taught. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1, is the second reference to this. It goes back to Matthew chapter 6, I believe it's chapter 6 or chapter 5, when it talks about the Lord's Prayer. And in this particular chapter here of 11, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying..." Who is that he that is mentioned here? Who is it? Who is it that's mentioned here? Say it out loud. It's not a tough question. I know when we get asked questions in church, we all panic and we begin to sweat. I don't know if I know the right answer. I do this when pastor asks us questions. He asked me a question the other night when I was at dinner with him. I knew the right answer, but I'm sweating inside and getting scared. I'm going to give him the wrong answer. But there's no wrong answer here because it's very plain and clear. It says that it came to pass as he was praying, and that's talking about Jesus Christ, in a certain place, when he ceased, meaning he came to an end of his prayer, it says, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So they witnessed the Lord praying to who? Praying to the Heavenly Father. I find the next verse very interesting because he goes on and begins to give instructions on how to pray. It says, "And he said to them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven." He gives them an area to say, hey, this is how you're going to pray, and this is how you're going to address him in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. So we need to be taught to pray. Jesus here is our greatest example that you and I need to learn from. Why? Because he practiced this here while he was here on earth. Very plainly here in this chapter right here, he practiced praying to his Heavenly Father. And one thing it seems like when somebody's ever in a crisis, what do we ever do? What do we do? When we hear somebody get sick, what do? We pray. When we learn that we might be late on our mortgage or our car payment, what do? When we learn that we might be without a job, what do? We pray, do we not? And so we cling to prayer. And there's a reason why you and I cling to prayer. It's not because there's power in prayer. It's because there's power in God. And we know that God hears us and wants to answer our prayers. But the world, it even seems with the world, hey, they might pray, but they don't even know who they're praying to. They don't know Jesus the same way that you and I know Jesus. And I feel sorry for those folks. And so some don't even know who they're praying to, meaning they don't know who God is personally. You and I, because we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, you and I should know God on a personal basis. Amen? Just like I should know Jeff on a personal basis. I should know Sterling more on a personal basis. Why? Because I'm taking that time out to have a relationship with him so I can get to know him. Folks, that is no different than God. When you take time out and you call upon your Father in prayer, you're furthering your relationship with him. Why? Because you want it to be a personal relationship. And a lot of folks don't have that personal relationship. And I feel sorry for those folks. So we go to church to be taught on the manner of prayer. And we need to be taught on how to pray. So after Jesus was done praying, the disciples asked the Lord, "Hey, Lord, teach us. We want to know how it is that we are to pray. We need to know what to say." Sometimes we don't even know what to say, do we, when it comes to prayer? There have been many times where I've been in prayer meetings and I had absolutely no idea what to pray for. But I do know this, that when you begin to open your mouth, God begins to fill your heart with some things that you need to bring forth, whether it be done privately or whether it be done publicly. So after that, Jesus began to teach them how to pray. Seems easy enough, but who are we praying to? Who are we praying to? Who was the Lord praying to? The Lord was praying to his Father. Verse 2 gives us, again, the explanation. We are to pray to the Father. This does two things for us. One, it helps us recognize that he is our authority. When we have accepted him, we place him the authority over us. We no longer have authority over ourselves. The world doesn't have authority over us. The devil doesn't have authority over us. But Christ, Jesus, our Father, has the authority over us. So it recognizes that he is our authority. The second thing that it does, it shows us that we need his help. And so often throughout our lives, probably on a daily basis, we realize that we need Christ's help. One of the greatest things that I've been able to do, and I know that I'm not perfect at it, but one of the things that brings me comfort is whenever a situation comes in my life, I don't care where I'm at, I don't care who's around me, I'll bow myself in prayer and I'll ask God to give me grace or to give me peace or to bring healing to so-and-so because it's so heavy upon my heart. And I do that quite often. I don't do it enough, but I do that because praying to God, I recognize he's my authority and I recognize that God wants to be my help. There are situations that you and I or somebody else cannot help us out of. But we know that calling upon our Father who art in heaven, who has a hallowed name, wants to work on your behalf, on my behalf as well. And so what are we to pray for? If you're going to a situation, well, what are we going to pray for? I've been there. I get there quite often. What are we to pray for? Well, in verse number 2, if you look down at the end of that verse, it says, thy kingdom come. And the next four words, what's it say? Out loud. Thy will be done. That is key when it comes to being taught in prayer or when you're teaching somebody how to pray. And that's to pray for his will to be done. And now let's be honest with ourselves. When we pray, we become selfish. We do. We become selfish in the areas that we want God to work in our lives. And so often we might say, God, I want your will to be done. But what are we saying secretly and inwardly? I want my will, God. You know it's my desire. You know it's my will. So your will should match up with my will. It doesn't work out that way. It's God's will. And so we pray selfishly. And in reality, we are praying for our will to be done instead of God's will to be done in our lives or in the lives of others. And so what needs to be done is to pray for the will of the Father and not your will. That's simple. That's basic. So when praying for God's will, here's the second thing that you need to pray for when it comes to him with his will being done. Pray that God will give you the grace to get you through that moment in life that you need at that point in time. It might not be the outcome that you are expecting or that you might want to happen in your life, but God has a different thought process than you. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And so if his will is something totally different than you, then pray to God, God, give me the grace to get through this. And that's what you and I need to pray for in our lives. So pray that God will give you the grace to get through that difficult moment in your life, because they will come. The third thing that we need to do when it comes to praying for his will, when it comes to praying that God will give you the grace, the third thing for us to do is accept his will. So often we have a hard time of accepting God's will. And we fight with God, we argue with God, and we tell God he's wrong, and we tell him we're right in a sense. And so when it comes to God's will, accept it. Amen? Just accept it. We don't always have to understand it, and we're not always going to understand it. There's some things that I don't understand right now that I know when I get into the presence of God, he's going to give me a very clear understanding of what he means. And I'm looking forward to that day. So we need to accept his will. And so when you accept his will, the fourth thing that you need to do is don't become angry because God's will wasn't your will. And so often we go through life and we begin to pray, and we begin to pray for God's will. God's will's done and not our will. We don't accept it. Then what do? We get mad. We get mad at God. Our anger sets in, and the anger sets in. It turns to hatred. It turns to bitterness. Then the next thing you know, we're walking away from God. So we need to be diligent when it comes to this, of accepting his will and turn away the anger. And when you know that that anger is coming, we all know when it's coming. We all have those feelings. We begin to contemplate and we begin to think about those things. And as we stew upon those things, that's when we become angry. So pray that God would remove that anger from you and accept his will, just because it wasn't your will. And be happy about that in your life. And so when God does his will in your life, regardless of what it is, here's an important thing that you need to write down. Rejoice in the fact that his will was done in your life. Rejoice in that fact, because God got glory, God got praise, his will was done and not your will. And that's hard for us to accept at times. Why? Because, as I said earlier, we pray selfishly. We pray for our will. We pray for our own desires. We pray for our own agenda. And we're never really taken in consideration for the will of the Father. Look at Jesus. What did he say before he went to the cross? Father, thy will be done. Paraphrasing. It wasn't about his will at that point in time. It was about the will of his Father being done, being completed. And when that was all said and done, that was amazing, amen? Because after that, we got salvation. We got the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for you and I. So rejoice in the fact that he's done the will in your life, regardless of the outcome. And I'm going to put in here, this also includes not only public, but private prayers as well. We have our time. We are to meet in our closets. We're to have our own private time of praying. And I hope that you set a time in your life for that. I'm not going to tell you you need to do it in the morning, the afternoon, or the evening. I'm just urging you to put some time in your life that you're going to take out, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 30 minutes. I don't care how much time it is. That's between you and the Lord. Start somewhere and have that closet time with him, so that your relationship will grow closer together, so become more personal. And so do this. Rejoice when his will is done publicly and privately. And then I believe as we had our time privately, you and I should be meeting corporately. And I'm not probably going to make any friends here tonight. That's okay. If I lose some friendships tonight, that's okay. There's plenty of fish in the sea, right? But I don't want to lose your friendship. This is just the word of God. And so I believe that you and I should be meeting corporately as brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we can begin to express our thoughts, our needs in our lives, so that we can take it not only before a holy God, but so that you and I, when we hear those prayers, it's not for us to gossip about so-and-so, but it's for us to go home in our private time to continue praying, and then meet back once again corporately and keep on repeating the process of that. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. The book of Acts, chapter number 12. This is my third point that I want to get here to tonight. And I don't know if you notice this, but on Sunday nights, I really rush through things here because I know people are used to getting out here at 7 o'clock. If I kept you till 7:30, some of you might cry a little bit. But I hope we're getting this here tonight. But the third point that we need to make here tonight is praying as a church, and that is corporate prayer. And so what are we to pray for? You know, there are a lot of things that you and I need to pray for corporately. We need to pray that God would continue to bestow his hand of protection about this church. There are things that we need to pray for when it comes to our Congress, our Senate, and our President, and our mayors, and our city council. Those are things that you and I should pray for corporately. And there are some other things when it comes to health issues. We've been meeting these last several weeks, and we've really been praying for the Nelson family because of what they're going through. We've been praying for Chad. I hope you don't mind me saying this. We've been praying for Chad because of some things that he's going through. And we do these things because we want to call upon an almighty God as a family corporately. And so now we're going to come to a time in the life of Peter. Do you realize Peter spent some time in jail as well? Not just Paul. Paul, when Paul spent time in jail, he had a motto. It just wasn't in Scripture. His motto was, leave a light on for me, because he spent so much time in jail. That's where Motel 6 got it from, folks. It was Paul. Paul spent an amazing amount of time in his walk with God in prison. But Paul was very active while he was in jail. There were some times where Peter spent some time in jail. Now, let's read this. It says, verse number 1, it says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother John, with the sword. And because he saw it, it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but look at this. But prayer was made without ceasing, the next three words out loud, of the church. Prayer went up on Peter's behalf without ceasing of the church. Unto God, for who? For Peter. Why? Because Peter was in need. What was Peter's need? Peter was in prison. It grieved the hearts of the folks of the church at this point in time. And so what do? They met together as a church, and they prayed without what? Ceasing. You know what that means, folks? That means that they did not put a time limit on it. That means that they started at a specific time, and they didn't care if they went over to the next day. They didn't care if they went over to the next week. You know what they did back in the early days of the church? How often did they meet? Daily. They met daily. Folks, if we met daily, that would scare the fire out of you. You know why they met daily? For this reason. They had all things in common. They did. They had all things in common. So from the beginning of the church, corporate prayer was introduced. Why? Because I believe they had all things in common. Church setting was also different. They didn't have the facilities that we have. Who was it that had the tabernacle? Who was it that had the synagogues? It was the Jews. So the Gentiles here, they didn't have the church. They met in small homes. And as they met in small homes in their communities, there were elders that were given unto them. And the elders were the leaders at this point in time of that particular group. And so they met in homes and had the elder to be their teacher. Not only were they teaching about Jesus, but here is the second thing that they were teaching their folks. They taught the people the importance of praying and who and what they are praying for. You know why they prayed for Peter? Not just because he is Peter, not just because he was a follower of Jesus Christ. They prayed for Peter because they loved him. You know why we pray for each other in here? For the folks that don't come at 5:15, you know why we pray for you folks? Because we love you. When things are going wrong in your life and you bring it forth, you know why we pray for you? It's not to give you glory, it's to give God glory. It's because we love you, and we don't want to see you go through those things. They had a love for Peter, and they did not want to stop praying until Peter was released from prison. And so they taught the importance of praying, of who and what they're praying for. They met daily to meet with each other. And as we think we are doing God such a big favor by going to maybe four services a week, two or one, and we pat ourselves on the back. Folks, think about this. This church met daily. Do you think you and I can do that today? I believe we can, if our heart's in the right area. I really believe we can. It says, verse number 5, it says, Peter therefore is kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Let me ask you a question. And I'm going to get a little bit personal, and this is where it might come in, where people just might scatter out that back door. I got Donovan back there. He'll scoot you right back in. Why is prayer time service the least attended in church? I'm asking it as a question because I don't really know. And the reason why I don't know is because I don't know your heart. Only God knows your heart. Why is prayer service the least attended? Could it be because we really don't believe in prayer the way that we say we do? Could it be? Oh man, I was having such a hard time this week, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed, and then when it comes time to prayer meeting, where are we? We're absent. Folks, this is the most important, I believe, service of the week, is 5:15. And you might sit there and say, Chad, you're on a little soapbox tonight. No, I'm not on a soapbox. The church met, and they prayed for another member, because that member was in need, and that family had a desire for that person to come back to them. Why? Because they loved him and missed him. And they wanted to have fellowship and communion with him. They meant something to him. We are a body of Christ. And when one person is missing, we're not a body. There is an important time for us to come to church, to put all things aside from this world. Whether it be football, whether it be baseball, everything that we got that takes us away, we ought to put some time away and say, God, you're worthy. You're worthy of my time to come and bow my head and bow my knees before an almighty God. But no, we're saying, no, we're doing you a favor, God. I'm here today, and we want our little participation trophies. Well, Chad, you're stepping on my toes. Well, move them. That's all I got to say. Maybe it's because we don't believe in the prayer that we say we do. I got a question I want to ask. Why do teenagers, young adults, and adults sit in the lobby while others are in here praying? Why do others show up late when we know we meet at 5:15? I believe we need to set some time away from God, for God to meet in prayer. Why? Folks, if we're not going to learn how to glorify and praise God down here, then you're going to have a heck of a time in heaven. You mean we're going to pray in heaven? You know, I don't know everything that we're going to do in heaven, but I believe that we're going to do some praying. And what's that praying? Praising Jesus. There ought to be some time set aside to where we get down and mean business with God. Have we come to a place in our lives to where prayer has lost its value to some? And God isn't important? Let's read on with this verse. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter in the side and raised him up, saying, Arise, up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, as he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Why is this happening to Peter? Because it goes back to verse number 5. The church met, the church prayed without ceasing for a man that they loved. They knew that he was in prison. They knew that he might be in harm's way. They knew that Herod might want to kill him at some point in time. They knew the prisoner or the guards had the capability of torturing him and that concerned him. And so they were praying. And as they were praying, what happened? God sent his angel, and the angels began to loose the chains that were about him. And the funny thing is, he says, Hey, Peter, get your sandals. Don't leave nothing behind. We're going to do some walking. And it goes on from here. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went on and followed him, wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together doing what? Praying. As Peter is being delivered by the angels, the church was still found doing what? Praying. Praying to who? To our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be his name. Thy will be done. That's who they were praying to. In verse number 13, it says, Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gates. Peter's out there. He's knocking. Hey, let me in. Let me in. I know you guys are gathered in there. You're praying. And here comes Rhoda. And she looks out the door, answers the door, and says, who is it? And it's Peter. And she says, oh, it's Peter. And she doesn't even let him in. She's that excited. And she walks back and begins to tell of what just took place. And verse number 15, verse 14, it says, when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were what? They were astonished. I got a question. Who were they praying to? They were praying to the Father. And when you're praying to the Father and he answers your prayer, why are we astonished? Were we not just praying for his will to be done? Man, what an amazing story. But we see here the church saw the importance of praying. And I understand some people don't like to pray publicly. I get that. I understand that. I understand that I don't like speaking publicly. I really don't. It's a challenge for me. But I do know this. I get up here every single time. I trip and stumble over my words. Spit comes out of my mouth. I sweat profusely. But God gives me the grace to get through that time. And so you and I should not be offering excuses to each other. We should not be offering excuses to God to keep us from serving God the way that we should. And so we need to be accountable to each other in this area. Why has America gone downhill? Families have been destroyed. Moms and dads are leaving each other and their children. And we wonder why this takes place. We see kids with guns on the streets and knives, and they're shooting at one another. We're seeing teenagers that are being taken, they're being kidnapped by other people and being molested and thrown away into this wilderness. Why is this taking place? Because prayer has been kicked out of this country. Why has prayer been kicked out of this country? Is it because we're not doing our job the way that we should be doing our job? You know, I got a job that I work Monday through Friday. And my boss expects me to do everything that he has told me to do throughout that week, and he holds me accountable to it. But my job as a Christian is more important than my job here on earth, because this earthly job is going to vanish one of these days, and I'm going to take my place in heaven with my Heavenly Father. And so what he tells me to do is far more important than what the world tells me to do. But we're allowing God to take the back seat. We're allowing prayer that used to be, our schools used to be opened up with prayer. City councils, when they met with each other, they would open up with prayer. I met a couple years ago when our guns were being threatened to be taken away from us, and there's this big meeting that was taking place across town. I actually, you know what, I said, you know, I'm going to go to this meeting because I want to see what's taking place. And as I went in there, here are a bunch of gun owners in the state of Iowa, and you know what they did? They opened up with a word of prayer. Matter of fact, they called a pastor from this town that you and I know very well, and he called him in just to open up with prayer. Amen? Folks, we got to do more than just that. We need to take the time to pray. We need to pray for our country, get it back on track. The answer is, why is this all happening? Is because praying to God hasn't been all that important. And the only time it really seems as if it becomes important in our lives is when we realize that we have a need. And when that need has been met and when that need has been answered, we go about our way. We thank God sometimes, but we go about our way, and then all of a sudden, a year, maybe 2 years down the road, we see, oh, hey, man, I got another need in my life. Hey, God, you remember me? We worked together before. I'm still your son. I'm still your daughter. I know I've been absent for a little bit, but now I want to do something else on my part. Can I tell you something to be quite nice with you? God's not obligated to answer you. But we treat him as if he's Santa Claus and he's got to meet our every single need. God answers prayers. We see this in verses number 11 through verse number 16 at this point in time in the book of Acts. God answers prayer. The church met. They prayed without ceasing. They didn't put a time limit on it. And because of this, Peter spent some time in jail. And that church that was joined together and prayed for him, their prayers were answered. Why? Because they saw a need. They didn't put a time limit on God. They didn't say, I'm going to show up at 5:15. I expect to be out here at 7 o'clock. They spent their time without ceasing, praying to an almighty God. What does that mean, ceasing, without ceasing? They didn't quit. They didn't quit. When I was in Pine Bluff, there are some times, I kid you not, we fell asleep. And when one person knew that another person fell asleep, that person would begin to pray louder. I've never been involved in such an amazing prayer event in my life. It's one of the best experiences I've ever had. It's changed me forever. And now I kind of know what it means to pray without ceasing. You want to know the sad thing about that is? I haven't really practiced that since that day. Oh yeah, I pray. I pray to God every single day. I start my day with it. I'm there in the middle of the day. I end my day with it. Many times throughout the day. But I have yet to spend a time like that with my Heavenly Father. I tell you what, it was such a precious time. Here's what took place. They prayed without ceasing. They didn't quit. They were persistent. They were pleading your cause to God. And here's what took place. God answered, and Peter was released from jail by an angel of God. They were excited. And as I said earlier, don't be surprised when God answers your prayer. Don't be surprised. And remember why it gets answered. Here's a very important reason why it gets answered. Because it was His will that was being done. See, so often we pray for God's will and we want it done right now. It doesn't work that way. We need to be persistent on our part. Pray without ceasing. Keep going to Him. And when it's God's will, He'll answer it in His time. But until then, as I said earlier, pray that God will give you the grace to endure through that time.